Some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to go for it. For more information or to purchase the book, visit carlgreer.com. That's CarlGreer.com. Some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to go for it. For more information or to purchase the book, visit carlgreer.com. That's CarlGreer.com. Welcome to What is Going Om, for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. To birth a soul into human form on earth is an act of love and sacrifice for that soul. But the ultimate sacrifice and the deepest form of unconditional love that exists is to help birth a human loved one and companion back home to spirit. That sentiment was shared in an endorsement for the book 20 Days Changed Everything, which tells the story of 20 extraordinarily harrowing days in the life and the death of a love story that dissolves the veil of dimensions from the death of the physical body to the miraculous afterlife connection shared by two souls who chose consciously to work and move through the process of birthing into death together. There have been many books published about afterlife communication and connection, but the story you're about to hear today is, in my opinion, much more than a reminder that life does not end with death and love is not separated between dimensions. It's a story about the kind of love that was destined to be. It's about how life and love and consciousness evolve in ways that we could never have imagined. Becky Kuhn is a heart-based energy intuitive, a Reiki master, heart math coach, life coach, and a crystal practitioner. And she's also an international best-selling author of the book 20 Days Changed Everything, a love story moving through conscious death to afterlife connection, which takes us on an intimate, heartfelt journey through her husband Jack's 20-day conscious death process and into Becky's 9-month discovery of life after life communication with him, which transformed and still continues to evolve Becky's life, work and consciousness, as well as her understanding of purpose in a way that she had never expected. Becky Kuhn, welcome.
Thank you, Sandy. It's a pleasure to be here with you and all the listeners, everyone.
Becky, tell us a little about you and Jack, very briefly, how you met, lived, loved, and what happened on that fateful day that propelled you both on that extraordinary 20-day journey that you took together.
Jack and I met in 2004, and it was one of those meetings where you look at each other and you just have this awareness of knowing them. We both had that connection immediately, but our lives were complicated like most of our lives, and it took us until about 2007 to come together in relationship. And we had just this amazing, beautiful soul connection. We knew that we probably had had lifetimes together. We just felt that. We felt such a knowing of our journey and a familiarity between the two of us. And so we got together in 2007, and we had 12 amazing years. Our life was very steeped in spirituality, esoteric thought. We were both empaths and very intuitive. Jack was actually quite psychic. And so we played in that field all the time. and had just this amazing love connection. We were both connected to nature. We loved rocks and stones and crystals. And we just were, it was one of those relationships that people dream of, that you know is possible, and it's out there. And we were able to find it. And in 2019, September 4th of 2019, we found out that he had cancer. And it had progressed. It was terminal. And he was gone in 20 days on the 24th of September. And we ended up doing death as we had done life. We explored options, ideas, spirituality. It was really important to us that we do the process as steeped in kind of that spirit as we could. But we didn't know for the first few days. We didn't know if it was about his passage or a miraculous recovery, because we also knew that was possible, right? But about 10 days into the process, he knew it was about his passage, and he came to me and asked me to support him.
And how did you cope with that? It must have been, unimaginable for anybody to understand how you coped. But can you share a little of that with us?
Sure. It was, I was fascinated, Sandy, in that, yes, it was heartbreaking. My heart was ripped open because this was my soulmate. This was the partner I'd searched for my whole life, and I had it. And I had this amazing connection with him. And But the amazing connection was this deep, deep-seated love that we had for each other that was unconditional. And I remember, one of the things that we had always talked about together is that if it stopped working, like if there was some reason that this, this stopped working for one of us, that it was okay, that we were steeped enough in love and unconditional love that, we knew we could support the other person, no matter what that meant. And so when he asked me to help him, of course I was in shock and had that moment of complete heart wrench and heartbreak. But I also knew in that moment that was his choice. And I would support him in whatever choice he made. And whatever he asked me to do in that moment, I was there by his side. And so it didn't take me long, Sandy, to step into that unconditional response of, I love you no matter what, and this is what we're doing. And I honor what you're asking.
Do you think, looking back, I mean, the grieving process, from knowing the moment of knowing that somebody that you love is going to die, is bad enough. When it goes on for years, as in some cases it does, you never get used to it, but you kind of get a bit inured to it. To have just 10 days, 20, but 10 really, because you had hope for those first 10 days. Say a little bit about that, because that is something that even as you're agreeing to support him, there must have been a part of you that was yelling, no, 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 no. I want to go on fighting.
I've thought about that, Sandy, because I've had people ask me that question. But this is what happened. When he asked me, we talked about it, when he asked me to help him and support him, Jack said to me, he said, this is our journey. You know that death is part of what we came to do together, Becky. You do remember that, don't you? And when he said that, Sandy, I remembered. I remembered that we had a contract to come into this life and to do this amazing life together, but to also do death. And I couldn't deny that. I couldn't deny that knowingness. So that knowingness helped me, because I had that recognition of a higher purpose, of a higher path, of a higher destiny. And he had said to me, we talked about this, I'm as a writer, I'd been, you know, writing off and on in my life, but he said, Becky, you realize this is a story. This is something that you're going to be sharing. This is part of your destiny going forward. And so, Sandy, I think that was part of my ability to step into acceptance, because I just had this awareness that there was really something much bigger at play here. And as heartbroken as I was, I also knew the journey.
So tell me about how, you know, the conscious death process. I mean, how did you work out what it was you wanted to do? What were the components of that process? How did you want to, it to be?
We wanted it to be as deeply connected to him as we could be. So the things that were important to him, we just started making happen. I set up a table with all his favorite crystals and stones and pictures, and we set up, but it's basically like an altar. We had right next to his bed. He's a musician, and so we had music going 24/7 in the background, and we created an environment of, you know, he was in the room that was his favorite room. It was his studio. We actually did the process in his studio that he loved so much, so he could see the things that meant so much to him. And then the rest of it we did intuitively. Like I said, we're both very intuitive, both very empathic, and quite aware of energy and energy dynamics. And so we just followed our intuition. He would ask me, let's do this, and I would follow through. And at one point we were blessed to have many people in our lives who, you know, were also very connected energetically and aware. And he had been gifted a piece of black kyanite by our nurse practitioner. And there was one, it was the day after he asked me to help support him. He had that piece of black kyanite, and he had it right between his solar plexus and his heart. And he was meditating, and he was working with that stone. And something came through me, spirit, God, source, something came through me, and I walked over and I put my hands on his hands, and I said, I just channeled this power and this strength to tell him, it's okay, you can leave, it's okay, we're going to do this. And you remember how to do this, Jack, let's make this happen. Let's make this process for you be as amazing as it can be. And so, Sandy, the whole time we were doing what we did, we just did it very intuitively, things that were important to both of us. And, you know, we followed our instinct. I also had been gifted a book, the Book of the Book of the Dead, I think. I'm not remembering it right now off the top of my head. But, you know, we were reading and we were doing all kinds of things about, you know, how do we support this process? Because neither one of us knew how to do this. We were just kind of flying by the seat of our pants. But I think the thing that we did, Sandy, was that we honored what we were both connected to. We set the stage.
And when Jack passed, what was that like?
The day that he passed, there was a song that was really, really beautiful to him. It was a Lorena Mechanic song, Dante's Prayer. He had always loved that song. And I would watch him sit in his studio and we would play that song, and he would just sit there and tears would just stream down his face because he was so connected to that music and that song. And he would always joke around and say, yeah, you know, something happens to me, that's the song, that's it. And I had set that song on the little stereo to get it ready, because at this point he was non-responsive, so I knew it was going to be any time. Mm-hmm. And I went into the studio and I was sitting there and I was just testing the music. And I turned the music on and I was singing the song through tears. I was just sobbing and singing and setting the stage. And I turned it off. And I looked over, and Jack's eyes opened. And I knew that was the signal. It's like I don't know if a part of his soul had heard the music, but something, it just was so synchronistic. So I turned the music back on, and I ran to his side, and I just held him. I held him as he looked up, and I held him while he took his last breath, and then just collapsed and sobbed and held him and held him and held him. So, and then after he passed, I rubbed sacred oils on his body. I honored his presence. I mean, I just spent time with him. And as hard as it was also a relief that he was out of pain and suffering. Yeah.
It's one thing to make this agreement, this commitment, you know, to go through this process consciously. But then when that process is over, there's a whole other process to deal with. And you can't really plan for that one, can you? I mean, the grieving process is, it's so individual. How did you cope in the aftermath? Did the fact that you were able to do as you both had planned to do, had come to do for those 20 days, did that give you any comfort?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Knowing that we had made his passage exactly what he had hoped for. In other words, we just honored the process and honored what was going on and honored him in a way. So that definitely made a difference in how I felt, because I knew it was done as well as we could have done it. I was there. I was present every moment of those 20 days with him. And yet, the complete heartbreak of losing another piece of you. I mean, we were so connected, whether you call it twin souls or, you know, one combined soul. It doesn't matter. The fact that you're so connected to another person, you literally lose a part of yourself, was very, very challenging in the first, you know, several, it was just very challenging. It still is at times now, 2 years mm-hmm. later. Yeah. But we did, Sandy, exactly what we had set out to do in that 20 days. And that
then
helped.
A month afterwards,
yes,
you started receiving communication with Jack, and that was quite unexpected.
That was very unexpected. I had had a friend come over, and we were doing a meditation, a guided meditation. And I went into this meditation, and I had this amazing experience of Jack coming back through and connecting with me. And I knew without a doubt that that was communication. We had talked about it before he passed. We were wondering if we were going to be able to keep connection with each other. And absolutely, it was about 3 weeks actually after he passed that I had this meditation and he came through. And Sandy, it was the most beautiful, the most amazing heart, energy, love, light. Jesus was there. I mean, it was just this beautiful experience of him on the other side. And he was elated. He was elated that I had made connection, that I was able to go to this place where we were able to connect. And that started the process of me recognizing that, wow, we can do this. We really can connect with each other despite the different dimensional fields we're in.
Did he speak with you or communicate telepathically right from the beginning of those connections, or did that come later?
He spoke to me right in the beginning. Like, I was able to hear him speak and share words with me. I have a couple of people that are well-known psychic and mediums, and he came to a couple of them and actually communicated with them as well. And because for me at first, Sandy, I was questioning, am I crazy? Am I just wanting this to happen? Am I really hearing him? So even though I was excited for the connection and the awareness and hearing him, I was questioning. I was questioning whether I was really, this was really happening. And so a couple of different people, he came to a couple of different people and said, please tell Becky to trust. It is me she's hearing. It is happening. And so I've learned. It's been a process of me learning to trust. And in fact, even to this day, Sandy, one of the things that he continually reminds me is he reminds me to trust the connection, to trust the love, to trust the expansion.
And he actually coached you in communicating with him, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he was actually teaching me what I needed to do, what I could do to help the process, what I needed to do to kind of get to that place of higher vibration and quiet, you know, that stillness, but really teaching me how to elevate my energy so that I could meet him in that field.
And not only him, because ultimately you were able to communicate with other people, with, you know, loved ones of clients that had passed
away. Yes. Yes, and that was a surprise. that was not expected. I was learning how to connect and communicate with him, and I had a Reiki client come in. This was December, so he passed in September. I'd spent a while, you know, learning to connect with him, and then in December, I had a client come in that I hadn't seen for several months. Actually, I hadn't seen him since the summer, and he came in and. He actually had shared with me that a week after Jack had passed, his daughter had passed, his 24-year-old daughter. And so we both shared a moment of connection and supporting each other. You know, we both knew this grief, and so we just connected. And then we went into session. I went into session with him. And as I'm, you know, doing my Reiki, and I'm used to feeling Jack. So Jack's around. He's usually with me when I'm working. So I was used to feeling Jack, and all of a sudden, I actually hear a female voice. And of course, once again, I'm having to, set my thinking mind aside. And I kept just saying, "Am I really? I just talked to him. I just found out about his daughter passing. Maybe I'm just, you know." But she was insistent. She just kept saying, "Please tell my dad what I'm asking you to share." So I did. I shared with him. I said, can I share some information with you that seems to be coming through? And it's from your daughter. And he was elated. He was elated. It was exactly what he needed to hear. And he said to me, he said, "I knew my daughter was going to come to you, Becky. That's why I came." So, Sandy, that opened up this portal of awareness when I work with people. I never know if someone's going to come through or if other information's going to come through. But it's as if this portal has opened up. And Jack is like the gatekeeper. Like, he's assisting this process with me. So we're still working together.
And you're also communicating with other beings other than people who had been human. Ascended masters, angelic guides.
Yes. Yes. So very often now when I'm in session, I'll have Jesus come in. Or Mary Magdalene, or Mother Mary, or Saint Francis, or there's just a whole host of beings that will come in. I have animals come in sometimes. So this has opened up a whole new realm for me, Sandy. I've always been intuitive, but I was never, you know, I was amazed at people that could do that. I was amazed at people that had that gift. But it seems to be something that is evolving in myself now as well.
Part of the contract too, I imagine.
Yes.
We're going to take a brief break now, Becky. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest today is international best-selling author and speaker Becky Coon, whose book, 20 Days Changed Everything, chronicles her heartfelt journey through her husband Jack's 20-day conscious death process. And into Becky's 9-month discovery of life after life communication with him. After the break, the unexpected revelation that is uncovering a whole other layer to Becky and Jack's extraordinary story. Stay tuned.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Mental health. Most people think it means mental illness. Most people are wrong. Mental health doesn't apply to just some of us. It applies to everyone. We're all susceptible to anxiety and depression. They're human conditions. And no person should ever feel embarrassed, ashamed, or be discriminated against for being human. Cracked the Podcast strips away the shame, fear, and stigma by expanding the conversation into areas less often visited. From brain and body chemistry, hormones, food, nutrition, trauma, and the microbiome, to pharmaceutical drugs, psychedelic substances, meditation, visionary experiences, and spiritual awakenings. Cracked the Podcast will explore them all, including the notion that, for many, breakdown can be the beginning of breakthrough. For in the words of singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen, there is a crack in everything. It's where the light gets in. Cracked the Podcast, slaying the dragons of mental health. Join co-hosts Sandy Sedgbeer and Rebecca Shaper on the first and third Thursday of every month at 12 noon Eastern Time.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back. Before we return to this week's guest, I just want to take a moment to share something with you. If you struggle with making important decisions, there's a really inspiring book that I'd invite you to check out. It's called The Necktie and the Jaguar by retired clinical psychologist, Jungian analyst, and shamanic practitioner Carl Greer. In addition to revealing how Carl Greer tapped into the wisdom and power of unseen worlds for guidance and inspiration, his fascinating memoir offers some valuable keys and questions that inspire the kind of thinking that guides you effortlessly on your own path to transformation. Check it out for yourself at carlgreer.com. And now, back to Becky Coon. Becky, you've written that often life's greatest challenges provide the greatest opportunity for growth and change, something that's not always easy for us to recognise on our own. Well, your experience with Jack and his passing certainly did that. But then something else happened, which was also greatly unexpected and, for most people, really devastating. Would you like to tell us about that?
Sure. In March of this year, I had taken a journey and I spread Jack's ashes. And it was quite an intense journey for me. We went to our favorite places, and I did ceremony and spent time with Jack, and it was a stressful time, and I'd lost a lot of weight. When I got home in April, I found a lump on my breast that I knew I needed to have checked out. What ended up happening was 20 months after Jack passed, I hear the word cancer again, only it was not Jack this time. And it was not his lungs, it was me and my breast. And that was a huge moment for me. It was like a choice point for me. And recognizing that, wow, do I really want to stay here? Because there were moments, truthfully, Sandy, there were moments along the way that I've had, even in the last year and a half, that I questioned, do I really want to be on the planet without him? Do I really want to stay? And I realized at that moment when I heard cancer for me in my own body, that my body and my psyche was giving me a moment of choice, a moment of awareness. And it was very, very intense. I had that same shock wave move through me that moved through me when I heard Jack's terminal cancer diagnosis. That moment of shock. I spent a lot of time realizing and recognizing that my body was sharing information with me. So what I never did do is I never got angry at my body. I never got upset with my body. Maybe it's because I went through the process with Jack and we did it in such a beautiful way that I was never angry or upset with my own personal body or the cancer even. I wasn't even upset with that. I have no fear of death. Having experienced what I experienced and the beautiful energies that I deal with all the time. I walk between the worlds all the time, Sandy. So I have no fear of death. What I do want in life is I want quality of life. But I recognize that I had been walking between the worlds and questioning. And at one point in May, this was June, this would have been in June of this year, I had to go to Jack and say, I love you. I'm with you. I will never, I'm not going to lose this connection with you, but I have to let go of the yearning of you in this life a little more and a little more because I want to stay. I had to make the conscious choice, Sandy, that I was staying. And for me, it was literally a conscious choice because I had been walking that line of, am I really going to stay? I miss him so much. You know, those kinds of feelings.
You were dancing with it, weren't you?
I was totally dancing with it. And you know, and also very aware that it's just another dimension, right? It's just a shift. So I don't have that fear of leaving. But when I got to that place where, you know, stage 3 cancer, your own body, you know, I had to, it was like a choice point. I came to a choice point where I had to declare, I literally declared myself in and said, no, I'm here. I'm ready to do what I need to do to heal my body, to work with my body. I began to talk to my body and my cells. I talked to the tumor. I channeled information from the cancer cells. It was amazing what my cancer cells shared with me.
Can you share that with us?
Sure. Let me share that. It was a very powerful moment for me when I asked my cancer cells what they were here to show me. And this is what was channeled. Choice. You always have choice. You always have a choice to heal, a choice to stay stuck, a choice to recognize your divine power, a choice to leave, choice to stand strong in your own journey, choice to listen to others' wants and desires, a choice not to listen. A choice to walk in joy, beauty, and sovereignty despite your life circumstance. It is your awareness of choice we have shown you. You are listening, and we, your body cells, applaud you for your wisdom and strength to step into awareness of what works for you. We want you to love yourself first and foremost. Do not overlook your body. You are learning, and when the self-love becomes a constant state of being, we no longer need to manifest. Allow your feelings to rise and move. Allow the learning to flow out onto the paper as you share with others. We are part of a bigger whole, a a collective consciousness that can move into a different state of being, but it must be done consciously and with intent. Thus, the healing can take place within, as within the body, as well as without, which is in the collective. The learning is part of a collective desire to transform. Many people use our type of cells to leave the earth plane, a part of a bigger plan. But we are not to be feared, to be at war with. Love us into non-existence. Love us into a transformational energy that cleanses the heart and soul and changes lives. Complete love of self is the key. Can you love that completely, that fully, your body that shows you the pocket of unwellness in your soul? We only exist as a modifier of energy, a catalyst for the body, mind, and soul to shift, to change, to expand into something new. It's your choice. Life, death, health, illness, healing, lesson, change, love.
Wow. How did you feel?
I felt amazing because my body was sharing with me, the cancer cells were sharing with me exactly what I needed to hear. And it's as if I've gone around this I've turned the corner, Sandy, in the journey. While I'm still dealing with the cancer, I had surgery. The tumor was removed. It was not in my lymph nodes. It was they got a clean margin, but it was stage 3. So I am still in the process of treatment and recovery and doing what I need to do, making huge modifications in my life as far as diet and my own health and taking a stand. But there's a strength that I've gained in my awareness and recognizing that my body's working with me, my cells are working with me. They're trying to help me understand at a deeper, deeper level what this journey is. And this is not separate from Jack. It's interesting because when I talked to the tumor and we talked about the emotion, what is the emotion that you're holding? It was shock. The first emotion that came up was shock. And I knew exactly what that was. It was shock of hearing about Jack, and that was shock of hearing about me. Grief. Grief was also held. And it's like, I understand my body held in that tissue. It held the grief that I still couldn't process. It was so overwhelming that it held the energy of grief. So there were certain things that my body was doing for me and working very hard to help me with in understanding and awareness. And so I don't see this journey with me with cancer it's still part of the same journey that I'm doing with Jack. It's still part of the same learning and growing and having awareness of. Does that make sense, Sandy?
It absolutely does. It's like, you know, I look at that energetically and it's like the yin and the yang, isn't it? He chose to die consciously. You had to choose to live consciously.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, we do both.
Yeah. Each of you delivering your part of that commitment that you made.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because he keeps reminding me, we can't do our work if you leave.
No.
He keeps reminding me. we can't share and do our work, Becky, if you leave the planet. You're here to stay.
Yeah.
So again, trusting, right? Trusting that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Trusting. I mean, you mentioned that you said to Jack, I have to let you go in this life. You know, I have to, you know, focus more on living this life without you.
Mm-hmm.
How easy was that to do in practice?
Not easy at all. Yeah. But he's been encouraging me to move on with my life. He's been encouraging me to move on in love, to move on in life, to move forward with this experience on the planet because he wants me to stay. He wants me to be happy. He wants me to stay. I mean, it's, you know, our loved ones, they just want to support us. They want to see us happy. And so he's been really encouraging me to love this life and be here in this life. And so I recognized that I'd been holding on to that yearning of him, comparing things to him, and, oh, I wish you were here, we could be doing this, and I miss you holding me, and I miss that physical. And that was the part, Sandy, that I had to let go of even more, the yearning of him here physically. The connection hasn't stopped. The spiritual connection, the divine love connection that we share hasn't shifted and changed. But it's the part of me in this world, in this dimension, that I had to move forward on.
Now, Becky, you're a heart-based energy intuitive, a Reiki master, heart math coach, a life coach, a crystal practitioner. You had a wealth of resources to call upon to help you throughout all of this. Can you share with us some of the tools that you use to help you deal with these challenges?
Yes. So I think the biggest thing for me was always the breath work, the breath, really moving and becoming conscious of breath. Jack shared with me at one point, he said, we have no idea how important breath is. It's everything. It's everything. It's connected to life here. And so the breath work has been critical for me. And so in heart math, when I'm coaching people, the key is for them to get into your heart space, for you to breathe and take a deep breath and breathe into that heart, just imagining that you're breathing into the heart space, getting out of your head, and just imagining that your breath is coming from the heart. And just really refocusing your awareness into that heart space. And just slowing your breathing down a little bit and just breathing into that heart space. And that literally can shift your physiology in just a few seconds when you learn how to do it. And so I do this all the time, Sandy. I'm very focused on breath and refocusing and going down into my heart space. And a lot of times, my hand is on my heart a lot. I literally place my hand on my chest, because it helps me just feel into that and move into that. So for me, the breath has been critical when I start feeling stressed or when I start feeling grief and sadness and all of the emotions that I felt with the recent journey that I've had with the cancer. I just really move into that breath. And when I can go into that heart space with my breath and my awareness into my heart, I touch that soul part of me. It's like, okay, that triggers that memory of what I'm here to do. Triggers the memory of, oh, it's a much bigger journey. Okay, I got it. There's much more going on here than this moment in time. And so the breath is key for me. But also the Reiki has been very healing. So I did a lot of Reiki on Jack as he was moving through. I do self-Reiki. So I place my hands on my body and I work with those energies, those beautiful healing energies. I work with crystals and stones all the time. I always have stones around me, calling on, the energy of those to support my system. So all of the tools that I've used, Sandy, are really accessible to anybody. It's not, those aren't things that you have to go and, spend a ton of money on. Anybody can access the conscious awareness of breath, breathing into your heart, taking a moment, placing your hands. We all have energy moving through us. I encourage people to place their hands on their body and just breathe, just feel, just allow yourself those moments of self-awareness.
Now, some people have never done this before may wonder if there is a specific technique that they need to use, or, must I do this every day for a specific period of time? Can you give us some of those specifics?
Sure. So, the heart-focused breathing is, you can do it anytime. It doesn't, you just shift your focus. So, they recommend in the beginning, it's not something that's necessarily natural. We're not taught to breathe, into that space. And so you just, you take a couple of minutes, you take a few minutes and you just imagine that your breath is going into your heart. And we can do it right now for just a moment. I just want you to imagine that your breath is moving into your heart. You're breathing in to that heart space, and you're breathing out of that heart space. Just allowing the breath to be a little slower than normal at whatever pace is comfortable for you. Breathing in, imagining the heart breathing, and breathing out. You're just resetting the body, the awareness, into the heart and out. So, Sandy, that would be just the beginning phase of just learning how to do that. Then once you get, you know, once you get familiar with what that feels like to actually imagine your heart doing the breathing, then you bring in feelings of what does it feel like to have compassion? What does it feel like to have gratitude, appreciation, joy? Those kind of higher level, higher energy emotions are really key in that heart. So that would be the next step, is you would breathe in that energy of compassion for someone or something, or gratitude that you have for someone or something in your life. Just feel those energies and breathe into that heart. That alone will shift your physiology so quickly.
You also, so that's... sorry, go on. Mm-hmm. No, continue, please.
So that's just, you know, that's just one technique that everybody can do. You can do it anywhere at any time. You don't necessarily have to go into a meditative state. It's just so much simpler than what we realize.
You also said that free flow writing is another tool that's helped you.
Absolutely. In free flow writing, this is one of the ways that I connect with Jack easily and my cancer cells. So when I free flow write or channel write, automatic writing, there's a lot of different terms that have been used. But I'll go into just a quiet space. I'll just allow myself to have a moment. I'll get quiet. And I will go into my heart. I'll do that heart-focused breathing, and I'll go into my heart space. And then what I'll do is I will ask a question of either my cancer cells like I did, or Jack, or another guide. I will just ask a question. And if you don't know who your guides are, it's okay. Just put it out there. Ask a question to whoever would like to share with you, you know, that you're, for your highest good, right? Who would like to share? And then you just... don't even think about what you're writing. You try to let the thinking mind go, and you just free flow write. You just write as fast as you can write, or whatever's coming through. And without judgment, without even thought, you just write. And at first it could be awkward if you've never done it before. It's okay. It's just a practice. And you just keep practicing that free flow. And at some point you're going to realize that you're getting information, that the words that are flowing through you and onto the page are pretty profound sometimes, and that's connecting to that higher awareness and that higher source.
So how has this experience changed? And I'm not just talking about the ability to channel or to be a medium for clients. How has it changed the way you work with people?
That's a great question. I definitely go into session with an awareness of, their higher self, knowing that we're connecting on such a deeper level, you know, that it's more than just the Reiki energies, and it's more than just intuition. And so when I go into session with someone, the portal gets open. And I never know. So this is for me, Sandy, I never know what's going to take place. And so I have to just be in total trust that whatever comes through is for their highest good and mine, and perhaps both of us, because I've had messages come through before that were also for me during session, or for both of us. So it's an even greater trust and letting go. So I have to let go of any expectations in session with someone, and I allow whatever might come through to come through with no judgment, with no, anticipation. So it's very, I qualify that with people when they come. I just say, I have no idea what's going to happen. It may just be a beautiful healing Reiki session. or it may be so much more.
Becky, we're almost out of time now.
I'd
like to ask you, what do you most want people to take from your book?
I think the thing that Jack and I both felt, and this is Jack too, is that, to not be in fear. And in fear of the process of passage, in fear of death, I think both of us, if there was something that we can impart with everyone listening, is that while you're going to have the human emotion of loss and sadness and grief, but you don't have to have fear. The fear is just that it's an amazing journey, and that they're not gone. Our loved ones are not gone. That there is life after death, and that we can all access it. One of the things that Jack shared with me, I actually did some channeling with him last night, and he said that one of the things that he wanted to remind people is that love never, never diminishes, never. It only knows expansion and growth and evolution. And that our loved ones who have passed never lose their love connection with us.
Becky, we're out of time now. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it right there. But I really want to thank you for the book and for joining us today.
Yes, yes. Such a pleasure, Sandy. Thank you.
Thank you. 20 Days Changed Everything, a love story moving through conscious death to afterlife connection, is published by As You Wish Publishing and available wherever good books are sold. For more information about Becky and her work, visit her website, beckycoon.com. BECKIKOON.com. That's it for today's show. I'll be back at the same time next week with another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, it's goodbye from me.